bow our head once more for prayer. Heavenly Father, again we seek thy face, Lord, especially at this moment when we are about to discuss thy word, Lord, to teach upon the subject which was set forth by your end time prophet. We pray, Lord, that our word shall be actually his word, though amplified, to take in many scripture yet saying identity the same thing.
Yes.
So, Father, we know that this is possible by means of the Holy Spirit, so we would just invite him now, and hopefully the thoughts of our mind should be under his control, and the words of our mouth would come from him. Bless the speaking in the hearing of God tonight, and may we be edified and your name glorified, because we believe your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, it's a nice early start tonight, and I am not going to take a long message. It'll be long enough, but not one of those real long ones with a multitude of scripture, but there will be a fair amount of scripture given. Now, Brother Branham spoke of the end time church, which is identified with Babylon, and that's what I want to do tonight by speaking on the spiritually lewd church of the end time. The spiritually lewd church of the end time, and we're going to go to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and we'll read verses 18 to 23. And unto the messenger of the church which is in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which followed herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Now I want to reread 20 and 21. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Now, we want to be careful to notice certain things set forth here in the scripture. And the first thing we notice is the church to whom the Spirit of God is speaking. And of course, that is the church in Thyatira, or the Thyatirian church. And yet, the fact is, we are warned that he is speaking to all churches. So there's something here that will pertain to us. As he says in the 29th verse, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In other words, any believer full of the Holy Spirit, because he alone has an ear to hear, because he alone would be able to understand, for he alone would have the Holy Spirit, there would be a message here for him. And of course, it would carry right on down to our day. So, we notice what church it is. The next thing we want to notice is the complaint of God, or the sin that is set forth in that particular age. And you'll notice it says in verse 20, that I have somewhat against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophet, to seduce, to teach, even to seduce my servants to commit fornication, sweet things sacrificed to idols. The sin that this church is in is the sin of fornication. Now, the question arises, what is fornication? Because that's what we would have to know. Well, we'll look at the verse again. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. Now, first of all, we see here a prophet is his name. And we all understand that the word of the Lord comes to a prophet. So therefore, they are not receiving the word of a prophet, but they're receiving the word of someone that would call themselves or herself a prophetess. A woman teaching, because this is what she is doing. She's teaching. And her teaching is seducing.
Yes.
And of course, we know the original sin was seduction, which was fornication.
Yes.
Where Eve was taken away from the word. Now, instantly we can see that this woman taking the place of the prophet is teaching. It's a seduction, fornication, eating things offered unto idols. And what he's actually saying here is that she is engaged in false teaching. Now, if you go back and look at the life of Jezebel, you understand that she married Ahab. She was the daughter of Ethbaal, which was the priest king unto Baal. And what she had done was not to bring in her religion, lock, stock, and barrel, to the exclusion of what was in Israel. But what was there was the combination of the two. The strictly heathen and that which was ordained and vindicated by God. So that the people were seduced into worshiping according to her formula. Now, the seduction was quite simple because she wasn't actually performing a rape upon the people. That would have been to say, now look, there's no more worship at all, the way you used to worship. There's no more understanding of God, the way you used to understand. But what she did, she began to insinuate into them, into their religion, her idolatry, until Israel was actually attempting to worship God through the formula which God laid down, but they go to groves and places which God had spoken against and ordained that they should not have a thing to do with.
Yes.
You see, many people have an idea when you speak of Jezebel and Ahab that what happened there was a complete carrying away of the people into a completely foreign religion, but that's not so. Because any time Ahab would even begin to walk softly before God, God would say to the prophet, notice how softly he is walking. So it was what you understand, what they would call the perverting of the true religion by insinuating another substance into it and yet calling it the true religion of Almighty God. So here we find that the sin of fornication, seduction, is actually a false teaching.
Yes.
It boils right down to it. And the eating of things offered to idols, well, you understand man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So these people were being fed a mongrelized food because there was not a complete divorcing. Even when Israel went to Babylon, they still maintained a portion of what was the truth. And when they came back, they still maintained a portion of what was the truth. Because when Israel went into Babylon, they were carried there, they had temple, they had the Torah, and they had a priesthood. When they came back not with a true temple. It was that which set the premise for a synagogue, for a rabbinical order and a Talmud. The thing was in a perversion.
Yes.
And this is exactly what you see here. It's perfectly, as Brother Branham called it, false teaching. That's what fornication is.
Sure.
And that was their life, because they're eating it. See, man lives by a substance. And this is what they were living on. This was their hope. And their hope was a false hope.
Yes.
Because it was not the word of a prophet. It was the word of a prophetess.
Yes.
In other words, we see here the superstructure, the hierarchy, as it was in Ahab's day, was controlling the people, and they were found in sin. And you recall, of course, that God hated this, because this is what Israel did at Baal Peor, where they began to worship together. They began to feed together. And it manifested itself in a physical sin fornication. Now you understand that everything has to have a sensate or a material form to work with.
Yeah.
You see, you say piano. Piano what? Well, it is a piano. See? All right. Now we have a word called piano. There's got to be a substance. Now, so in the spiritual, when God uses the word fornication, well, you know that the angels of spirits don't fornicate. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. What it is, it's got to be a form here on earth that gives you a shadow or an understanding. So when God spoke in terms of fornication, he is calling here, which is an illicit act, which is not proper because it's carried outside the bounds of propriety within marriage. So here you've got a people, as Brother Branham said, worshiping and serving God outside the framework of the world. The Word. That's what makes his sermon so important on trying to do God a service apart from his will. See, it must be all perfectly lined as God wants it. So there's been an intrusion here, and the people are being taken away, and it's not been an act of rape. Now, see, I keep using those terms because I tell folks, look, if I preach for the next 30 years, I'll never get the people to believe this message to believe what I'm saying. Now, you think I'm hard, but I'm not. You're going to tell you something. People still believe. They still cannot believe Eve was seduced. They think she was raped. She was not raped. See, the perpetration of rape was not there. She was made willing to enter the act as though it were the right thing.
Yes.
See, now there'll come a day when Antichrist will perpetrate a rape. But when you're building the image, which I'm getting ahead of myself, that's seduction.
Yes.
See, this is the case of seduction here, where the people are made willing and happy. See?
Yeah.
And we'll see that later on in the New Testament as we get more scripture. So what we want you to understand here, I'm taking my time, is when Brother Branham said that fornication is false teaching, that's exactly what it is.
Sure.
It is a false teaching. Now, you'll notice that God told her what she should do, and she didn't do it. He said, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Now, I want you to notice something here. The word repent in the Greek means a change of mind. And I realize that you come out of a school of thought that says repentance is where, oh, I feel so sorry for my sins, I won't do it again. Now, you see, you're exactly unscriptural. Godly sorrow worketh repentance.
Yes.
But godly sorrow is not repentance.
No.
Flour and yeast and eggs and buttermilk make a cake.
Yes.
See? But the cake isn't made until you got those individual things in there. So the cake comes out of that. So you got to change your mind. And when a man truly repents, there comes a change of mind.
Yes.
And God said, I want another teaching. See? Because that's where the mind must go. If you are really repentant tonight, you've got a real changed mind, it means that your mind is full of the Word of God, your mind is settled on the Word of God, your mind cannot be beat out of the Word of God. It's as Brother Brown said, the mind is the womb of the Spirit, and if you ever get the Word in there, your womb is shut up to anything else.
Yes.
But the womb was open to the wrong seed.
Sure.
See? Now let's ask one question here, flat. What came first, the Word of God or the Word of the devil? Won't answer me. Anybody. Now don't be bashful, because I'm not mean. You know it's the Word of God, and you're scared to speak up. Before the devil said one word, God had said the Word.
Sure.
And the devil came by in his seduction to get her off with changing that word.
Yes.
The wrong teaching. See? And Paul brings that out strictly, which we'll cover again in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And he said, lest Satan should beguile you, as even he beguiled Eve. And how? Through his subtlety, which would pervert the mind.
Sure.
You see? So we look at the picture here. It is definitely a false teaching, and she was given a chance to go back. And she would not accept the revealed and true word of Almighty God. She wouldn't do it. Now, she should have obeyed, but she didn't. Now, because she refused, notice what God says. He says right here, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they change their minds. Now, you know the great tribulation ends at the seventh church age ending. So, therefore, he gave her the opportunity to the last door, to the last ditch, to the last day, to the last hour, to the last minute.
Yes.
See? Before the tribulation. Now, and notice further. And I will kill her children with death. Now that is the lake of fire.
Sure.
Which is the second death in there. Now, let us go a little further. And one thing we want to recognize here, that when she is caught, when this church is termed generically, she is called a woman. She's designated as a woman. So, according to verses 22 and 23, which I read, this church will have its final manifestation in the seventh church age. She goes right to it. And you can bet this, she is not going to repent. She won't do it.
No.
The church that's back here will keep going on and on until her final day, and then she'll be thrown into the great tribulation. See? And then she will come up at the second resurrection at the white throne and be judged guilty and thrown in the lake of fire.
Yes.
Now why? Because of false teaching.
Yes.
Now, I know people say, well, Brother Dale, the thing is this, that isn't that at all. It's not robbing. It's not cursing. It's not killing.
No.
It's not assaulting. It's not mugging. It's not lying. We say, they're all going to have their place in there. That's right. But what do their works come out of? Unbelief in the Word of Almighty God, and the bastardization of God's Word brings it.
Yes.
If the Word of God was ever in its pure form and man took it, you'd have nothing but the complete essence of God all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
What it is, it's a wrong teaching. It started back there in the garden. Now, let us show you something else. I said here she's going to be up, she's going to be in the great tribulation. She's going to be at the white throne, judged and cast in the lake of fire. And yet, according to verses 25 to 28, I want you to notice something here. But that which ye have already hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I'll give him the morning star. Now, according to these verses, there lies within this perverted church of unbelief in the revealed Word of God a bride, a people.
Yes.
Who will come out of her and not be in the great tribulation, but will actually, at the battle of Armageddon, through the judgment of the Word already pronounced, because that's not where judgment is. It's through the Word already pronounced, judgment come by wrath. And she will destroy the very system out of which she comes. See? Now that's what we read right here in the Bible. And we're going to prove it here. 3 and 21. Revelation. To him that overcometh, I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also came and sat down with thy Father in his throne. Revelation 19, 11 to 15. And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now he's doing the judging and the war. Now watch. His eyes a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Where did he get them? Crowned by the bride.
Yes.
And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. So don't start thinking too much about that new name business under the thunders.
Amen.
You'd better hold it right there, because this looks like it's Armageddon, and who knows too much about the situation.
Yes.
All right, and again, it says he was clothed the vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven falling upon white horses clothed in fine linen. Now who gets fine linen? Saints. Angels don't get it.
Right.
These are the saints. White and green. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness, the wrath of Almighty God. Armageddon. And who's with him? The bride, and she's doing this right with him. The church, that this false church which condemned her at the end time, when all sin must be harvested, this group within this perversion, see, is going to judge and destroy at the end time this wicked church out of which she came. And then at the white throne she will judge her and be cast into the lake of fire, because she will be sitting on the throne. See, now that's absolutely the history written in this Bible that God Himself has told us of. Revelation 20:11-15. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was opened, and the book of life, which is the blood. And the dead were judged out of those things which are in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which are in it, and death and hell up the dead which are in them. And they were judged every man by the works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever is not found in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Now, this is the perfect picture Brother Branham told us about the wheat coming up. You plant a wheat. And that was the regular life of Jesus Christ, the light that fell on the ground, the lamb light. And what happened? As it been growing up, the stalk from whence it came died, flat died. It went into leaves. And then that which was in the leaves went up further, and that flat died, showing organization. See, all was left organization behind it. And up to the very end, see? And then you've got, what have you got at the end time? You've got a little pile of grain like this, and you've got a huge stack of wheat stalk and chaff and everything else. But you see, the life was moving up, and that life can never be judged, because that life is Christ's life, and whatever Christ does or is engaged in, that same life in individuals does and is engaged in the same thing.
Yes.
So you see, therefore they're there. So I just wanted you to get the picture. Now, we mentioned a few minutes ago at the start here that this woman's cardinal sin was fornication, and of course that is lewdness, or spiritual lewdness is what she's into. Now, how is she spiritually lewd? She is spiritually lewd because she is untrue to her espousal contract. Now, we'll go to the espousal contract, the 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, and verse 13, and read a couple verses here. Now what? But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now notice where she is. This group above here, and I'm not reading about her, won't have a thing to do with the truth except in a perversion. Because they're worshiping God. They're holding the truth in unrighteousness. See? But here, they are holding the truth in righteousness. So down here, but beloved, we're bound to give thanks for you, see? Because God hath chosen you, the election, as contrary to the non-elect, the true church, contrary to the false church. See? Lamb-like as contrary to just light.
Yes.
That's in here. Now, he said, we thank, because God again has shown you the salvation through sanctification of spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the teachings which have been, you've been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God even our Father, which has loved us, and has given us the everlasting consolation of good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. But these up here are not established. Now, the marriage contract, the espousal contract, is the word. See, 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. And I like using this verse, I'll use it a lot tonight. Always will use it a lot because this, you see, there's some verses in the Bible that stand out above all the other verses when you're dealing in a certain subject. Now, notice, Paul says in the 11th chapter, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, where I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means. Now, he's worried about the chastity. See? That's it. By any means. As the serpent beguiled Eve, this ability, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive another spirit, which we haven't told about, or we ourselves don't have, or you received another gospel, you see it right there. It has to do first with the Son, with the Spirit, and with the Word.
Yes.
Now the Word is that contract. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the God Himself is the bridegroom.
Sure.
So, your contract lies in the Word of God.
Sure.
And Paul said, if that is changed, your contract is void. Now, this church that we saw back here at Thyatira is right here at the end time. See? Now we're going to seek her out in Scripture that we may know as much as we can about her, what she's doing and so on. Now to do this, it is very, very simple. It's just like falling off a log backwards. Her sin is what? Fornication. So all you've got to do in the book of Revelation is find that word fornication, who's doing it, and man, you got her pinned right down. You're not second guessing. You know all about her. Because that's her trademark. And that trademark is going to describe her as we examine her and find out all about her. Now, we're going to do something a little different in order to understand. Usually you'll start and work yourself up to an end. I am going to start at the end and work myself back. So I'm going to take the last mention of fornication in the book of Revelation, and then I'll work right back. And in doing this, we will have a clearer and better picture. So, we're going to go to Revelation 18, 1-8, and we'll begin reading there. After these things I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mighty, with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now it tells you right here, Thyatira brings the wrath of God because of fornication. And this one here is fornicating and bringing the wrath of God. Now so there's not two of them, there's one of them. So here we see her. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people. Notice that you be not partaker of your sins, and you receive not of her place. Right back in Thyatira. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity. Reward her even as she has rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, and the cup that she hath filled her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sore give her. For she said in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sore. She's saying every single thing that I said. This old prostitute. Therefore shall her plague come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord that judges her. Now here it is. In verse 2, she is called Babylon. That which was Thyatira in chapter 2 is now called Babylon. And remember, the Thyatira means domineering or dominating female.
Yes.
And that's exactly what was happening here. See? The church was now dominating over the Spirit of Jesus Christ revealed by the Word.
Yes, right.
See, here in this terrible position. Now, remember, Brother Branham had a vision. And in the sixth vision of number 7, he saw a most beautiful, dominating, cruel, hard woman rise up.
Yes.
Very beautiful on the outside. That's just what John saw. He stood back and marveled at that beauty. Mm-hmm. But you see, he saw the rottenness and hardness. That's where the Bible speaks of a whore's forehead. You can't change your whore no matter what you try. She's just like a sow in heat. You'll have to take an axe and just cut her head right off like that. Boom. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you'll do with it. Never. Let's face it. God himself said she's going to be thrown in the bed of the dog of great tribulation. And when he's through there, he's just going to go ahead and throw her in the lake of fire.
Right.
See? You just watch your scripture. Those definitions in scripture are beautiful. I've seen those whore foreheads all around the country. You'll never change them.
No.
They walk right into it. See? Just as hard as his nails. Now, also Brother Branham had a vision, and in that vision, it was a man with a tri-cornered club, a Trinitarian doctrine, beating down a woman.
Yes.
And notice that he said, that was my father, and yet it wasn't. It was my mother, and yet it wasn't. It was a hierarchical priesthood, the denominational organization taking over the people. And that's exactly right, because William Branham had to come out of organization same as you and I do.
Sure.
The whole system, even as Lamb's light comes up out of light.
Right.
See the original. See, always watch that original. Now, remember, Brother Branham also saw at the end time a filthy rock and roll church.
Yeah.
Nude. Whose nudity was discovered, and nakedness is always the word used in concerning sexual impurity. Thou shalt not discover thy father's nakedness, which means you cannot have intercourse with your stepmother, stuff like that. Discover thy uncle's nakedness to take his wife. Now, we're going to look at this church of history in a nutshell. So you can hold your finger here in the book of Revelation, and we'll go back to Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 31 to 32. And here is what the Scripture is saying to us. Another parable put ye forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven. Now the word heaven here is not the heavens itself. In the Greek, it's like an elevated place showing government. It's what Brother Branham would call, what's that word he used now? Dementia. See? And it's showing that there is a ruling and an authority here. And it is like the heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches. Now you know that's not so. The mustard seed does not become a tree. It's always an herb. Why? Because you can't change the species. See? Now remember, God used that mustard seed like faith also. That's a different thing entirely. But here he said, it becomes a tree. It's grown. And it becomes the greatest of all. In other words, there is that which was sown, which was in itself a perfection. But before the ages are over, it absolutely becomes a monster.
Yeah.
Now let's find in Revelation, I just read it here, that same old mustard seed. That tree. And he said, money. Babylon, the greatest fallen, is fallen, and become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now here is what he's saying. This mustard seed, this which was to be the true gospel, this which was the word of Christ, this which Paul started, becomes absolutely monstrous and covers the whole world, so it's now inhabited by birds, which is an evil omen, and filthy devils. Now that's just true enough. We're going to go to Matthew 7, 13 and 14 and show you that we know what we're talking about. Get no wrong thoughts in your head. Matthew 13 and 14. And it says, enter you into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow the way, and which leads like, and few there be there. And how are you going to have a mustard seed, a tree, that covers the whole world and going to be of God? Because very few are going to do it. Now let's go a little further. Let's get our scripture all lined up. We go to Galatians, the fourth chapter. There we read verse 27. It is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Who's that? Sarah. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. Why? Say, oh, she's going to have children. No, she's not going to have children. She is going to have a child.
Amen.
Now watch what it says. For the desolate, that's Hagar, hath many more children than she that hath a husband. Now it tells you right here that those which are truly of God are going to be a bare minority. But those that are the illegitimate, you see, the two seeds didn't come together right. The two seeds was the egg of Sarah and the sperm of Abraham. But when the sperm of Abraham got with the ovum of Hagar, it produced millions.
Yes.
And when you get religion crossed with false doctrine and teaching,
amen,
there will come a day when by the sheer force of the powers of hell, it's going to take the whole world over.
Yes,
you can right. Say what you want, but there's the Bible on it.
Yes.
We're sufficient people. And I'm glad we are.
Amen.
When Brother Brown said, I heard there's 10,000, believe this message, got to shake it off, he said.
Yes.
There's 60 or 70,000 now.
Mm.
See? Now, we're suspicious, and I admit it. Every time someone come along and say, we believe this message, and see a bushman, I go down here, and I'm looking out of the corner, this man out of the corner, and out of the back of my head. Yes, I'm suspicious.
Amen.
And if you're not, you'd better be.
Amen.
See? Because we will not be a big people that's too late.
Amen.
When the life has gone on.
Amen.
That's when they'll take this message
right.
In the tribulation.
Right.
There'll be no more bride or nothing. They may come in at the end time and serve the bride by bringing their glory in the holy city, but they can't be bride.
That's
the
right.
Bride is always few.
Amen.
Few.
Amen.
It says rejoice. So people say, well, we're a little tiny number to say, well, let's get out there and have a lot brought in. No. You rejoice because you are few, and you're despised, and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And the little old Ishmael's always going to try to bungle up the life of Isaac every day. But remember one thing about it. the royal seed of promise is very, very small.
Amen.
So, you can see the history in a nutshell. Now, that's exactly what we saw over here. 13:31-32 is exactly Revelation 18:2 as we read it to you. Now, let's keep reading. Fourthly, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, notice the voice is from heaven. In other words, a freshly, divinely inspired message. Not old Jezebel prostitute. Not your old church. And not somebody in the church. Says a voice outside, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. Great tribulation. Therefore, there has got to be a clarion call at the end time to save the people from the great tribulation.
Yes.
So how can anybody say the bride's going to go through the tribulation? Her sins will reach unto heaven. God has rewarded her and remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you. Double out of her, double according to your works. Now, what has this church always done? What was the cardinal thing Brother Branham brought up? Killing the souls of men and killing the bodies. 68 million martyrs.
Yes.
Just in one period of time. Hundreds of millions, no doubt, were killed. And the Bible says that's exactly what the bride is going to do to that rotten prostitute church. They will absolutely kill her at the Battle of Armageddon.
Yes, that's right.
Now, you might think you're sweet and gentle, brother, sister. You wouldn't have a hand. We ain't got nothing to do with God then.
Amen.
So you're going to have to come back riding that horse and do what he did.
Amen.
That's what he said, judge not before the time.
That's true.
But that people's going to do it. Now, he said how much she glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much, and so on. Now, she is about to be judged. But, of course, the bride will come out of her first. And you will notice in verse 8 that she will be utterly burned with fire.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to go back to Genesis 38 and chapter 38 of Genesis and verse 24 and to see where this comes from. And, of course, this is the daughter-in-law of Jacob or Judah. He was supposed to give his son to her in order to raise up children to the first husband. And he wouldn't do it. So she got herself pregnant by Judah. Now, the 24th verse, 38 Genesis. And it came to pass about 3 months after that, it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by Hurim. And Judah said, bring her forth and let her be burnt.
Yes.
So therefore she'd have to be burnt with fire. That's part of it. But notice also, we go to John 8. Rather, first of all, Revelation 16, 19 to 21. And the great city was divided in three parts. The cities of the nation fell. Great Babylon came to men before God to give unto her the cup of wrath, wine of the fierceness of wrath. And every island fled away and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God. Now remember, Babylon came to remembrance when God sent those hailstones. All right? Let's go back to John, the book of John, that is, Gospel. And we hit the 8th chapter, and notice verses 4 to 5. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery the very act. Now Moses in the law commandeth, saying that she should be stoned. But what do you say? Now, the two penalties for illicit affairs, being untrue to a marriage vow, was burning and stoning, and those two fall upon this church. So you know, in the eyes of God, she is a prostitute.
That's right.
And she is untrue to her vow, though she says, I am a queen, though I am the widow, though no sorrow will come. Because I have all the promise of Almighty God, he said that does not hold because she is a prostitute. She is a harlot. Now, this Thyatirian system, this woman, is called Babylon at the end time. She is called a whore in plain simple language. And notice she is mystery Babylon because she is that same old Thyatira. See, it's just like a doctor I know. He's a very outstanding doctor. He's so outstanding, the AMA wants to keep throwing him in jail. Because he gets results they don't get. You know, they can't stand that because their pocketbook is taken away.
Sure.
And you know, he talked to our son one day. And he said, look, he said, if you've got every symptom of hypoglycemia, even though the test doesn't show it, you've got it and I'm going to treat you for it.
Mm-hmm.
See? That's just the way this is. This, you can tell here that Thyatira is Babylon is old Thyatira that's coming right down to the very end. She's just got a different name plugged on her.
Yes.
And that's the mystery of it. Because every single thing that's said about Thyatira is right here said about her.
Sure.
So, when you have A equal to C and B equal to C, A and B are equal.
Amen.
Sure. See? Because the description is there. Now, we're going to turn the Bible back from chapter 18. We're going to hit chapter 70. We're going to read one tonight. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vows. This is a great tribulation. Talking to me, saying, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. Okay? With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit must, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, royal color, see, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, very rich, and having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth.
Yes.
I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, wondered with great admiration. The very same thing Brother Branham had. See? The angel said, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and ten horns. He said, I'll tell you all about it. Now, notice where this woman is sitting. She is sitting upon many waters. But what are waters? Verse 15. The waters which you saw, where the whore sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. He tells you right here that she is absolutely either ruling the whole world, or she is ruling a major portion of it, because she is ruling over kings and nations, the whole setup.
Yes.
Her power is fantastic over the world. See?
Sure.
Great, great power. Now notice what she has in her hand. In verse 4 it says, each woman has a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. In other words, the cup she has in her hands signifies that she is drinking and giving of drink.
Yes.
Which she most certainly is. And what is it? It has to do with false teaching, because it's called the cup of her fornication.
Yes.
Now notice also about that cup that's in there. In verse 6, and he said, I saw the one drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. She has one purpose in life, and that is to destroy physically. No matter how she does it, the true servants of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The truth, see? Which will absolutely, the martyrs, which will include the Jews as well as the Gentiles, see? She has a zeal to destroy. To show you that, we go to verse chapter 18, verse 23. And it says here, the last portion, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Now that word sorceries is not sorceries as you understand sorceries. The word is actually medicine, or what you call the prescription. So what she has done here in this 23rd verse, she has deceived the nations by her prescription for life, which brings death and not life.
Yeah.
Now you know there's only one place Brother Branham said that death strikes, and that's in that two word.
Yeah.
So she has a zeal for her doctrine.
Absolutely.
Now, back to chapter 17 again, you will notice that this woman is identified with the city. And it says in verse 18, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now I want you to notice something here, that this woman, this church, this system that is so godless that God is going to judge, is absolutely in control of a tremendous portion of the earth, and she does it by the control of one city.
Mm-hmm.
As though that everybody around her were robots controlled by a computer, a nerve center.
Yes.
In other words, this is a nerve center.
Yes.
Running throughout the world. Now, notice the geography of that city. The verse 9, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Now, you've got the geography of that city. It is a place where there are seven mountains. Now, you can look at Cincinnati, Ohio. That's got seven hills, but not mountains, really. Now, let's ask a question, though. How religious is Cincinnati? What has she done about missionaries? What does she control? Nothing. Her fame is tracks in the field of engineering. And she has the two largest machine operating plants in the world there. She's got some good universities.
But as far as religion's concerned, nothing.
That's right.
Not even Billy Graham doing much in the waterfront stadium. See? All right, they said it's just Russia. Is that a fact? When did Russia send out anybody to worship God?
Yes, that's
right. They're communistic and atheistic.
That's right.
This is theistic. Now, you name me one city that's got seven mountains that her religion has gone throughout the whole world, and there's only one place, that's Rome.
Sure.
There is no place else you can turn
Amen.
Down because there's no place else you can go. Now, thus we see that this is no more ancient Babylon than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mystery Babylon. The name isn't Babylon at all. It would simply have to do with religion. Now, you know what religion did in Babylon. For a while, there were a few Hebrews that stood true. But when Israel went back in the land, they were no more that people than nothing.
Amen.
They were cured of a type of idolatry, yes. No more images. And no more this and that. But they were so messed up in their word, they no longer had the truth of the Torah, they had their Talmud.
Amen. Yes.
And their hierarchy. See? That kept people from the way of Almighty God. Now, let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 13, 19 to 22 to prove this up. Because there are people right today who are teaching worldwide that Babylon's going to be rebuilt. Now, needless to say, they don't know if they're foot or horseback when it comes to the word of Almighty God. Verse 80. In the 13th chapter of Isaiah 19, that Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, what were Sodom and Gomorrah at the bottom of the Dead Sea? Will you ever revive them? No. They'll never come up. What's going to happen is there's going to be fire renovate the earth. And that Dead Sea won't be there any longer. Now it says it's going to be like that. It shall never be inhabited. Now why? What makes them think it's going to be rebuilt? Neither shall it be drawn in from generation to generation. That means it isn't possible to have one generation there. Even to build it for one generation.
Amen.
And say the builders are ever going to be here. Says, no sir, there's no generation. Now, neither shall the Arabian pitch his tent there. The shepherd make their fold there. Wild beasts of the desert will lie there. How their houses full of doleful creatures, owls dwell there, satyrs dance there, wild beasts of the islands cry in their desolate houses, dragging their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. And I want to know what these teachers are trying to teach around the world that Babylon's going to be rebuilt. I'll tell you, it's a very convenient lie of the devil to make people think that the Great Tribulation is 100 or so years away.
Yes.
It will not be rebuilt. See? Now, let us go further and see this harlot church. Though she centralized herself as head, that was in chapter 17 of the book of Revelation, and verse 15 and 18. Now watch. And he said to me, the waters which thou sawest where the horse sits are peoples, multitude, nations, and tongues. Worldwide system. Verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigns over the whole earth. She is centralized, but she is far flung over the world. And also notice it. It says upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of earth. Now it lets you know here that she's got daughters or others who come out just like her, though they're not bearing her name. They're part of her. Now, if you want to write Time Magazine someday, and I'm sure it's Time Magazine, several years back, I would say, 1970, maybe somewhere in that area, they published a chart, genealogical chart, showing that every single organization bar none has come out of Rome. See? And so did we come out of Rome.
Sure. Yes.
But we're not going to organize and be a part of it. Because the call has always come out of it. So, this system is all over the world, and it is a religious system with great power and dominion. Now, notice in verse 3 of chapter 17, she is identified with the beast. So he carried me away in the spirit. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, and having seven heads and 10 horns. Now, it tells you right there, this preacher is a power, a great power, and it's full of names of blasphemy, blasphemous names. That is blaspheming against God. That's even using His name when they shouldn't. Calling themselves Christians and the bride of Christ and the wife of God and all those things in there. And saying we're the sure way to heaven and you know, you name it. And it says here that this woman, this actual vast system, is identified with the beast. Now, this seven-headed, ten-horned beast is very fascinating, for it rises in Revelation 13 and what? Let's go back further. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. Now, the sand of the sea represents multitudes of people.
Yes.
And I saw beasts rise up out of the sea. I mean, the sea represents just the people. And a beast rises up out of the sea. Now, out of the people, because of what they are. Now, this should help you to understand election and non-election. See, some never were in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it says out of that sea, tremendous numbers of people, the world. I saw a beast come up, see, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horn ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy, blasphemy names. Now, just keep your finger there, and, well, we better read verse 13, the second verse rather, too. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his great power and his seat and great authority. Now, actually, what I have read here is the beast pictured that Daniel did not picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, we're going to go back to the seventh chapter of the book of Daniel in order to see this. Now, Daniel's great vision. And he said here that he said, second verse, I my vision by night, and behold, four winds of the heavens drove upon the great sea. In other words, spiritual forces and powers stirring the people,
yes,
causing something to happen amongst the people.
Yes.
Now, and because of that, four great beasts came from the sea, diverse one another. Now, the first one was a lion. The second one was a bear. The third one was a leopard. But the fourth one, the worst than the whole bunch, see, with his ten horns, is not described other than the horns. And he is the worst. Now, let's get this straight. There were four world dominions and no more. Many people think that there were more, but there weren't. There was one, two, three. And it says that the first three were given their period of time. But the fourth one went plumb to the white throne.
Yes.
Now, that's exactly what it says here about Thyatira and Babylon.
Yes.
So, therefore, if I am describing two objects, and the description is identical for the two objects, then the objects are identical.
Yes.
It's one and the same thing. So, here we have the fourth beast is not described. But over here, the beast that controls is described. What do you got? You got leopard, bear, and a lion. See? And worse than all the rest. In other words, there was poured into the fourth. See? Every single thing that made it the worst.
Yes, that's
see the power and glory of Babylon, Medes and Persian. And then there came the Greeks. And then there came Rome, and no more. And so therefore, everything that was centered and identified with the Roman Empire has to be at the end time, because there is no other empire than the Roman Empire.
Yes.
So therefore, we are seeing the Roman Empire and its mystery Babylon. Once more, we see a mystery, because this time she is not an empire ruling as a great empire over all other empires. She is simply a religion centered in a city.
Yes, that's
which
right.
Was in the Roman Empire.
Yes.
And she's got all the power that was ever vested in anybody at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And she's absolutely rotten filthy.
Yes.
So, There is that symbol, that last beast. Now, I say we understand truly that this is the Roman Empire revived. Now, as Brother Branham, as the Scripture says here, we'll say Brother Branham says also, the beast that I saw was like a leopard, his feet the feet of bear, and so on, and the dragon gave him his power and his feet and great authority. Now, and I saw one of his heads as it wounded death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, it tells you right there that the Roman Empire was literally and absolutely destroyed. It was. As far as an empire was concerned, it was gone.
Yes.
But notice how it comes back. Now, how does it come back?
Amen.
It comes back through religion.
Yes.
When Constantine joins the state with religion,
yes,
and they induce into Christianity an idolatry. So you got a perfect picture here of what we've been going through all along. Now, we look a little further. We're going to read verses 4 to 8. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? In other words here, this is not simply a nation that you can get your gun centered on and focused on and say, well, just knock the spots out and put them out of the way. You simply can't do it.
No.
Because this is everywhere.
Yes.
See? Throughout the whole world. And is therefore superior to politics and superior to arms.
Yes, it is.
And therefore it's also spiritual. And how can you hit a ghost, as it were?
Mm-hmm.
See? Now, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given to continue 42 months. Now, here is where you see his total world reign is only for 42 months. The rest of the time he's building up to it.
Yes.
And he's controlled.
Amen.
See? They've got control over all the... They've got some control, not necessarily perfect control, but they've got a liaison, an entree, and an influence.
Sure.
Even with every single nation. So they're sending their authorities, their legates and ambassadors. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in it. Was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them. Power given over all kindred and tongues and nation. Notice it's over all kindred now, the whole thing. And all that worship upon, dwell upon the earth to worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain in the foundation of the world. In other words, now we have enforced world religion.
Yes.
Now I want to ask you, who ever enforced religion upon the people?
Amen.
Now we're talking about Christianity, not Mohammedanism.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Christianity. For the first time, Christianity is the greatest religion in the world. That is by actual numbers, see. Now, we're going to all just hold our fingers there. We're going to go back to 2 Thessalonians. And we will take the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians 3 to 4. Let no man deceive you, beneath, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalts himself above all that is called God, or he that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Yes.
Now, it tells you right there what the worship system is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Jesus forgave men's sin, they said, you are nothing but a devil, we're going to kill you because nobody but God can forgive sins.
Amen.
Now, when he forgave sins, they said, you made yourself God.
Wow.
Now, you show me one person who forgives sins, the Pope.
Amen.
So, who's the Antichrist? Who's the head? The Pope. It is absolutely Rome. Rome alone does this. Now, let's notice that right with this, America has a part. The 13th chapter. Let me read the first verse again. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now, he saw a beast rise up, and it was the fourth empire. Because look at now, you can't have anything rise up out of the sea that which is original and parallel with Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Bible's all screwed up. You'd have a fit. It's a fourth.
Amen.
And he saw exactly how this thing was going to be done. That it was going to be religion now instead of armies.
Yes.
And you don't need an army if you can take men's religion in hand and can cow them on them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and he describes the animal which was worse than all others, which was Rome. Leopard, lion, and bear. Now, let's go to verse 11. Now, that's world sea. Now, watch this sea. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Now, now sees are multitudes, vast multitudes. See? Then what's earth? If there's a beast going to come out of the earth, then this is different from what came up out of the seas. But it will end up to be the same thing you watch. Now, I saw a beast mother, and it had two horns like a lamb and spake like a dragon, ecclesiastical and civil.
Yes.
Now, it says right here it was a lamb. That pertains to the same thing which is Christianity. But he speaks like a dragon, which is the beast.
Yes.
So therefore now you've got another beast coming up. As Brother Branham described, and I certainly do agree, that it has to be a place where there weren't many people. It was mostly land. And America had mostly land over here. Very few people. The people came over here to get away from Catholicism and to have freedom of government. But what happened? They followed right over here. And then it says, out of that is going to come up, out of Christianity in America, is going to come up a dragon. Oh my, he's going to talk. He's going to sound so pretty. And he's going to look so good.
Yes.
But believe me, underneath he's that same rotten thing that came up there in the first verse.
That's right.
Now listen, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. What first beast? 13 and 1, out of the sea. So therefore you've got, as it were, a mother and a daughter, or call it a father and a son.
Yes.
And the son follows in the steps of his daddy.
Yes.
He is nothing more than a carbon copy.
Right.
Of what was the original. But man, he's a mess. Now you watch. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. Now the first beast goes way back to Rome. Now what nation that's Christian has the power America's got? Now we're dealing with the end time now, Brother Sitcher, not England. No, sir. We came out of England.
Yeah.
And out of Europe. The stock is over here.
Sure.
See? We are a miniature league of nations. We are a microcosm, as it were, of everything else.
Yes.
You show me what people are not represented in America. I don't believe you'll find one.
Mm.
If you look hard enough, you'll find a Bush pygmy over here. Or his ancestor, somebody right here.
Sure.
You see? And out of this people, out of the microcosm, as it were, that which represents in a minuscule the whole earth, you're going to have something rise out of it.
Yes.
That's in the exact image of the original.
That's right.
Now, I want to tell you flat, Brother Sitcher, let's go to further. And causes the earth and that which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now I ask you a question. Who saved the world for Rome?
Amen.
America.
Sure.
That bunch of Italians can no more do nothing than nothing. And the fact of the matter is the Italians are not involved as far as Rome's concerned, because Rome stands separate.
Sure.
She never did bow to Italy. She maintains she's a separate nation. She's got her own government, the same everything. And boy, does she control things. She does what Italy cannot do. See? And Brother Brown said they could drop a bomb on St. Paul's Cathedral, Westminster Abbey, but they didn't drop anything on the Vatican. They should have.
Yeah.
But her day's coming. Now, America has done it. See? The Christian sentiment, so-called, of America. She should have obeyed her Monroe Doctrine, but no, she couldn't do that. She pulled to some great Christian nation. Now notice. And he doeth wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven in the sight of men, the atomic bomb.
Yes, that's right.
What it is. And when America had that atomic bomb, and I believe even today, Brother Sister, if there was a war with Russia, we would destroy Russia. Because you can get to the people held in serfdom. But Americans are not in serfdom. The only serfdom you got here and I got here are taxes. Bunch of rotten politicians. But we've got a freedom. We can move here and move there, telephone there, take money here, go there. We have a freedom.
Yes, see? Yes, we do.
Now, it is absolutely America that has done this thing. She's the one that screams, make the world safe for democracy. She has taken everything she had, and when it all boils down, she has done only one single solitary thing, and that is to bring the power of the Roman Catholic Church to its feet and run the whole world.
Yes, that's right. Right.
Now, and deceives them that dwell on earth by the means of those miracles that part of you in the sight of the beast. Saying them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. Now, America has done that. What is her image? The image is another hierarchy of power to control the world. Rome couldn't do this. I could go to Europe. I've been to Europe several times. Not several, but sometimes. Listen, go there. You're not going to find what you find here. Go to Germany. What do you got? You've got two religions, Lutheran and Catholic. Oh, you got a little sprinkling here, a little sprinkling there, something else. You go to Denmark, any place you go. But you come to America, there's hundreds of them.
Yes.
See? Now, and where did the people get together? In America.
Sure.
When I was just a kid in Canada, United Church formed out of the Presbyterian and the Methodist. And they both laid down their Christian dogmas, their truth. And they got under a preacher who didn't believe in the virgin birth or anything else. And he was a prohibitionist. I don't believe he was. He had a beer belly on him like he swallowed that drum in there that you put your wine in. And I don't think it was just by eating hot dogs and sausages. Maybe I'm not saying it right here, but I want you to get an idea that his religion was a complete phony.
Yes.
Brilliant man, but nothing in the heart. Yes. Just in the stomach. Well, the Bible says the end time is going to be that way. Their belly is their God. Now, the churches in America are the ones that have formed the Union. And they are the ones that are placing the Pope at the head of it.
Sure.
Now, let's understand this. This, I think it's maybe Ramsey, I'm not sure. The fellow of the Anglican Church, a couple of years ago, went over to Rome. And he absolutely gave the Pope preeminence and deferred to him as the head of the whole church system because he was there first. And a business for God's business in London. There was a Roman Catholic priest with great power, praised for the sick. And he stood before those four gossip businessmen. And he said, "My, what a switch," he said. "You Pentecostals used to pray for us Roman Catholics. But here is a Roman Catholic praying for Pentecostals. Why don't you come home to mother?" Mm-hmm. They've already come home to mother. Mm-hmm. You see? It is America, with her wealth and her ability and what she is doing, that is making effective the Roman Catholic Church would be nothing to them.
That's right.
The Roman Catholic Church is falling apart at the seams.
Sure.
Hardly 26% believe in the fellow to the Pope. Nobody wants to be a priest or a nun. Their schools are rotting. The whole thing is going, brother, sister. And it was American money and it's American religion that's going to keep the whole thing together and does keep it together.
Yes.
Because the church is determined to run things. They say politics can't do it. Now, if you think that the church isn't strong and you're senator, bring him in here and I'll make a liar out of him. Because I know Pasha, little smarty pants Bobby Kennedy, when he was the attorney general, he decided to investigate the colleges and find the professor teaching communism. And he got away with it. They said, "Wonderful, fine, we know a little bit more and it was done better than Joe McCarthy's day." But I'm going to tell you something, though. When it came time to investigate the churches, not Ward, but that other house, Carson Blake is one, but there's another guy beyond him, too. They went right to the department and said, "All right, you go ahead and you investigate us, and you won't be back in office." Mm-hmm. And that's the last you heard of the government doing one thing about it. The church has the power.
Yeah.
See? Right. The church is controlling. And whatever they've left handed down by the hierarchy is going to go. Now, it says here that because of this, what America has done, this image that's giving life to the beast, see, like a second shot in the arm. Said he had power to give life to the beast. That image the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship image, the beast should be killed. In other words, it says right here, the spokesman at the end time is no longer the politician, it's the church.
Yes.
Carson Blake once said many years ago, he said the church must, can, and will control world finance.
Yes, he did.
They're going to do it, see?
Yes.
Now, and he caused rich and poor, small and great, and bond and free to receive the mark in the right hand, to do the will and the foreheads, which is where the mind is, to take the creeds and dogmas. No man can buy and sell unless he did that. Now it says, here is wisdom. Then that hath understanding come of the beast, where is the number of man, and the number 666. Now, it tells you right there that 666 is the number of man, and there's only one man that's got it, and that's the Pope. And that's in the Latin where he calls himself the Vicar of Christ. Now remember, the word Antichrist is not against Christ. There's only one place I know where Brother Branham made it clear, where he caught it and said it clear. It's instead of Christ.
Yes.
The word anti does not mean against. It means instead of.
Amen.
And is thereby against. It's just like a woman comes in to take her husband. See? She's taking your place. But when she does it, she's against you.
Mm-hmm.
So we got the picture here. Antichrist. The Pope. 666. Now watch. in these verses 11 to 18, which I have read here, speaking of the beast that comes up out of the earth. This is my humble estimation. You can do what you want with it. But typing it upon Daniel, where Nebuchadnezzar, see, honored a great holy man for his service to his kingdom, made an image of him, see, that people had to worship, put it in supreme authority, see, that everybody had to bow and fall down. And now, since America is the one that has saved Rome, that has saved religion, let me tell you flat, if I was a Roman Catholic, I'd start a petition right now and demand an American Pope.
Amen.
And I believe that this one we're talking here in this 13th chapter, I'm saying, Lee Bill talking now, not Brother Branham. But Brother Branham said, watch when that Pope comes out of America.
Yes.
And I believe when he does, he will be the Antichrist.
Yes.
From where Scripture lies, I can't see it any other way.
Amen.
That we're going to have him. And we should have him. I say, if I wasn't born again, hopefully, if I was just an ordinary person falling in line with this junk going on today, I wouldn't want to be counted saying, yes, who cares that much for your Italian popes? They're not worth a plug nickel. What have they ever done?
Yeah, that's right.
What has Italy done? Nothing.
That's right.
They can't fight. They just have a mafia. But America is a great, grand, and glorious nation. And she ought to be honored.
Mm.
Give her a pope.
Mm-hmm.
She'll get him.
That's right.
She'll get him, don't you worry.
Amen.
And I believe he'll be the Antichrist. I'm not saying for sure, but everything as far as I see points right to it. But there's one thing you better know. If he will not be the Antichrist, the fellow's right behind him is going to be. Because that's when Brother Bannon said, you watch out. Now, I want to go back even further. I'm going to go to Revelation 12. I'm going to read verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Now watch. Having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns on his head. Now we see a wonder in heaven. Right up in heaven, we see a great big old dragon, great big old beast, and he's got seven heads and he's got ten horns. Now, I'm going to take a quick peek at chapter 17 and 3, and I'm going to read, and it says here, and I saw a scarlet colored beast, red, full of seven heads and ten horns. Ho ho! Same color, same features. All right, I go back to 13 and 1. And I read here in the Bible, and I said, he stands up, and I see a beast. And what about him? He's got seven heads, and he's got ten horns. Actually, the very same thing again. Now, I want to go back to 12 and 4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, and for to devour her child as soon as he was born. And she brought forth a man child, who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God. Who is that? Jesus Christ, full of the Roman Empire.
Yes.
What beast was it? See, that dragon, see, now, let's keep reading. And the woman fled to the wilderness, where she had the place prepared to God, that they should feed her 1,203 score days. The great tribulation. Now we're referring to a woman. See? But not a woman identified with Christ. The bride is, but not this one. There was war in heaven. Might his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought these angels, and prevailed not. Neither was there found any place any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. Now notice the devil up here, the dragon up here, is identified with Rome,
yes,
which we have shown all through Scripture, and now he's the devil.
Yes. Amen.
That dragon, see, that old serpent, the devil, Satan, which deceives the whole earth, and she does. How do you start deceiving? Change word.
Sure.
They believe a lie, you shall not die, you'll come by me and get life.
Mm.
But it won't work. Now, cast out of the earth, and his angel cast it with him. See? And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation, strength, the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ, the accuser better than cast out. Well, in other words, when the pride goes up, the devil comes down.
Sure.
But what is he? He's Rome.
Sorry. Yes.
The identification. See? In other words, Babylon is actually Satan's own church world system.
Sure.
That is to bring in satanic worship by falsifying and perverting Christianity. And there's where nobody wants to be with the prophet taught outside a few of us ignorant people. that don't have a mind of her own, but have the mind of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We see that this world system is the original perversion of the Word of God.
Yes.
It started back there in heaven. Now listen, Satan was the original angel cherub that covered, right?
Yes,
now, where are the cherubs? One cherub here, one cherub there over the mercy seat. And the mercy seat was over the ark. And what's in the ark? Word!
Sure.
What was he doing? Supposed to worship according to word. But he turned the people from God. See, with his own word. Desiring worship.
Yes.
To build a beautiful kingdom and all. And you've got the same thing right now. It's never changed.
Amen.
The Antichrist system, brother, sister, is nothing but the true perverted. Let me tell you a little further about it. Satan cannot create. Satan is not original. He can only take and mess up what God has given him already.
Yes.
Now let me tell you something. Since that is true, then it all boils down to one thing. Everything that Satan has is God's pure resources, which he uses to a wrong end.
Yeah,
man. The very word that they use today, which they said, we've been given the key. We can bind sin and loose sin. That's true, you can bind and loose sin. But you don't do it their way.
No.
You do it the word of God, repent and be baptized every one of you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
You see, that's what's wrong. That's why Brother Bannon had to teach the way he taught. That you try to do God a service outside of his will. You try to worship outside of spirit and truth, you're bound. You see, it's the devil insinuating. People are looking for black and they're looking for white. That's a lot of hogwash. It's right over here is God, and over here is the devil. To bring them together, you've got grace. And you can, at the end time, you can hardly tell the two spirits apart.
That's right. Amen.
Listen, the devil can absolutely use gifts of the Holy Ghost at the end time.
Sure.
Same as Judas did.
Amen.
So here's what we're bringing down to you, at the very end. It is Satan's own world church system of perverted Christianity. The perversion of it. So you can see why, if there's going to be a bride, there's got to be a restored word.
Yeah.
Now, we all know how the church that started at Pentecost got this way. As Brother Branham said, the Roman Catholic Church started at Pentecost. That's exactly right. We read it to you. In 2 Corinthians, we're going to read it again in order to impress ourselves. There's no church tomorrow night, so we can take our time now. He says here, I'm jealous with godly jealousy. And what is the jealousy of a husband? He feels his wife has been fooling with somebody, but he can't tell. Now get this. It's just a feeling he's got. He hasn't seen her do it. She is so close to a virgin. But he says, something wrong, something's wrong, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a feeling.
Amen.
What he's got to do, when he gets jealous, that's a godly jealousy. That his wife is bearing the wrong seed. She's been messing with somebody. So what he's got to do is take her right to that temple and give her a word test, the way God said it.
Yes.
See? Now Paul says here, I have on my heart, he said, the law of jealousy. I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, that if any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his lascivity, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ.
Yes.
The wrong seed here, you are no longer a virgin of Christ,
amen.
You are defiled.
Amen.
Now watch what he says. If he that comes preaches another Jesus, did they? Sure. What Jesus did Paul preach? See, who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus, Jehovah Savior.
Yeah.
I'm the one God who came in human flesh and died for you.
Yeah.
And they said, well, he's the eternal Son of God. Here's the Mother of God and all that kind of crud.
Yeah.
Made him third person Trinity. All right, receive another spirit. Don't you know that Paul the Apostle said in the Ephesian book, he said, he that came down and died
Amen.
Was the same one that went up and came back again.
Yes.
Christ
Lord.
Came back as the Holy Ghost.
Sure,
there's one Holy Ghost, but he's the second person. Now you got two lives.
Amen.
Yes.
And then they took the Bible and perverted it. And the Roman Catholic Church says, we wrote the book. That dirty bunch of liars, they no more wrote this book and nothing because I've got 39 books of the Old Testament. They had nothing to do with it. And they tried to put their hogwash in there too.
Yes.
Stupid junk like a fish talking to somebody. Oh, God, have pity. You ever heard such crud in your life?
Amen.
Amen.
And educated people believe that nonsense. A bunch of Protestants falling for a Jew. So here you now, you got a false spirit, you got a false word, and you got a false Christ. A Trinity.
Yes.
Amen.
And the Trinity is what they got.
Amen.
But they name all three and use all three and use Scripture for it.
Yes.
And at the end time, I believe that the Roman Catholics have got to come back to the Word as close as they've ever been, as they've never been before. You know, Duplessy boasts about that, Mr. Pentecost. He was talking to Monsignor Pookie Pookie or something. And so Monsignor was so happy. And he said, what message should I give to the Holy Father of you? And so the Holy gave a duplicity. which is his name without a doubt. He gave the Holy Father a little message. Let the Bible go to the Catholics. And lo and behold, Holy Father so and so gave the Bible to everybody. That's right. Now they're charismatic.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. There's a Methodist minister a couple of years ago, whatever it was, went to Rome. He was happy to be there and acknowledge with the Pope when there were many, many, many Roman Catholic priests there. And that Pope got up and he said, listen, I want to say this. The Roman Catholic Church is doomed unless she becomes charismatic. That's what the Pope said, Pope Paul.
Yeah.
And he turned around and said, he said, I earnestly desire or commend that every one of my priests receive the Holy Ghost. And that fellow said they took off their coats, raised their hands toward heaven, and a mighty rushing wind hit the whole house, and they stopped in tongues and gave utterance.
Amen.
Now, it was my privilege not too long ago, and I was in Newfoundland. So I got home after church. I turned the TV on, the motel, to get the news. And I want to tell you, I got some good news. I saw 40,000 charismatic Catholics in Montreal, blessed by the Pope. And they were carting riches around and praying for the sick, talking in tongues, and prophesying that God was doing great works amongst them. At the end time, that spirit is going to be so close.
Amen.
But I'm looking for a mighty, wonderful, tremendous man to come on the scene.
Amen.
Not some watered down or jumped up jerk, but I'm looking to see some man of
Amen.
Tremendous stature and fair character come on the scene who's going to fool the whole bunch of
yes,
us.
That's
because
true.
The Bible said so.
Amen.
Now, let's face it, we are not a bunch of dumb glucks anywhere in the world that can be fooled by just a bunch of mafia.
Yeah.
See? It's going to be that spiritual darkness when the spirits are too close, so close. See? Yes, sir. We've got it right amongst us now.
Yes.
It's the same thing over here that I read in the Revelation, the second chapter, which I read a while ago, part of my text. The 20th verse, notwithstanding I get a few things against you, you allowed that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, a false one. What's she doing? Hybridizing. Was not the message of William Brown screaming against hybridization?
Yes.
Always it's hybridization. You see, that's exactly what Ishmael was. He was a hybrid. They were to take a tick, took Sarah. Not just Abraham. So God can anoint the outside spirit, and you'll still have a hybrid.
Sure.
And he'll look just like the original.
Yeah.
Notice what we read in 2 Thessalonians. The second chapter. Oh, the ecumenics will love me for this. I'll just blame it on Brother Branham. Notice, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe. Eli! What was Eli? You shall not surely die. But you will. That they all might be condemned to believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Yes.
And who are they? They hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they use the Word of God outside the framework of the Word, because you can only compare spiritual with spiritual, and only a Holy Ghost man can therefore worship God, right?
Amen.
You say what you want, Brother Sister. I don't care how people beat Brother Branham. I believe Brother Branham because of the fact he had a great ministry to fit my eye him. And I know he was that man that God answered back. But I'll tell you why I really believe him. Because I can find in the Bible what he preached.
Yes. Amen.
The Word of God lives.
Yes.
Tonight. Because a man came on the scene. You see? Yes, sir. Revelation 22. We all know that scripture. 18 and 19. And it says right here, I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophet's book. In other words, understands when that prophet comes on the scene, boom, because this book is open in chapter 22 and verse 10. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add to him the plagues written in this book. In other words, this could only happen before the great tribulation.
Amen.
So that church, Thyatira, is right here. And there's a bride right in her.
Amen.
And she's got to come out. And there's one way she comes out of her. Only one way. And that's to line back and away from fornication.
Amen. Glory.
To give her vows back to God. See? Now, and if any man take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God should give him the book of life. Out of the holy city and so on. So here we are. There has got to come a time when the Word of God will be perfectly restored to restore a virgin bride. And all the rest are going to go to the rest. There's your picture of Matthew 13, 31 and 32 again. Now, and God's Word, the book of Revelation, is full of God's judgment on this false church.
Yes.
Over here in 18, 20 to 24, it says, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty, now you see, this is what's going to happen now because this is the vengeance coming. A mighty angel took up a stone like a millstone, cast the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city bound be.
cast into the sea.
The voice of harpers, musicians, pipers, trumpets, no more heard in thee. Craftsmen, no more found in thee. The sound of the millstone no more be heard. The light of the candle shine no more. The voice of the bridegroom, sure she's gone. The bride's gone too. They're all gone. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. Notice the great men were merchants. Not servants of God, not apostles, not prophets. Only spiritual. A bunch of filthy carnality based upon money. Look at your churches down the road. Look at your organization. I was just talking to Dave tonight about his own father and organization there. They take away his church. And I said, this is a curse always. Godly men of God. Call the Holy Ghost upon them. Go out and preach. And you know, they'll do like a bunch of boobs. They'll take the tithe and they'll work their fingers to the bone and put the tithe in the church and organization take it away. You know why they can do it? Because it's wrong seat. The tithe never meant to build a church.
Amen.
To take care of godly men while they give their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You breed a bastard, you'll get a bastard.
That's right.
Amen.
That's why the system is a bastard system.
Yes.
They're not born of the Word of God. They're born of the corrupted seed.
Yes.
Now come on, get smart. We're living in the last day. This is the day where all the mysteries are open. And there's an answer from the Word of God to every question.
Amen.
Well, if it isn't the truth, that's not right then, brother, sister. We're not in the last day.
That's right. Yes.
See? All right. Now, it says here, for by thy sources all nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints, all that were slain upon earth. In other words, this church goes right back to the first killing. And the first killing was by Cain.
Yes.
And he was illegitimate.
Sure.
Wrong seed, but religious. Wouldn't take the way of God, took his own way, and said, I'm going to worship anyway. Therefore, any man that absolutely will worship himself, will is of Cain, is of Babylon, is of the devil.
Yes. Right.
Because I'm a child, you cannot be worshipped God unless he asks you to draw near. Blessed art the man whom thou callest to draw near to worship you. He just got this thing so messed up and pitiable. Now, Revelation, the third chapter. The reading was just back in there, 18th verse. Now watch this. I count you to buy me gold tried in the fire. You may be rich, white raiment. You may be clothed. See, they don't have it. The shame of the nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eye with eyes, salve, you might see. They don't have the Holy Ghost and they're plumb naked. Now let me tell you, what is nakedness the Bible refer to? Adultery.
Yes.
Fornication. It says right here, they haven't got it though they say they have. See? Not true. Now, I'm going to go to the Old Testament and literally show you the book of Revelation concerning Babylon in the Old Testament. In other words, we've got an Old Testament prophet that said it. We've got a New Testament prophet that said it. See? It's not just Daniel Revelation lineup. We're going to go to the book of Isaiah chapter 47 verses 1 to 15. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. You had your day, now watch. Take the millstones and grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the ears. Sure. She prostituted herself. Entered every kind of merchandise. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance. I'll not meet thee as a man. Oh, they've had men said this and men said that, make folks here, make word there. One day God's going to settle their hands. As for how Redeemer the Lord of hosts is named, the Holy One of Israel. Sure, you've got your folks and said, we're the church, we're going to take him. We said it's a clean. You watch, see? Listen, sit down. Sit thou silent, get thee into the darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of the Kingdoms. She calls herself the Lady. I was wroth with my people, I polluted mine inheritance and given into thy hands. Thou didst show no mercy. Upon the ancient, thou hast heavily laid thy yoke. And thou said, I shall be a lady forever. So thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither did remember the latter end. And they didn't. He said, I'll give her a chance to repent. She won't do it. She said, I said, it's a queen. I've got no worry. Everything's just fine. You stick with me. We got a mate, baby. Yeah. This is back here hundreds of years before John wrote his. Now, therefore hear now this thou that are given to pleasures and dwellest carelessly. And say in thine heart, I am not, and none else beside me. The Roman Catholic Church has never accepted anybody.
Amen.
Until recently. When they said, you Protestants, it's okay, we'll marry before Holders. We just made a little mistake, we forgot. You've got our baptism, so you're one of us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's right. Roman Catholic baptism is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen.
Now, there's none beside me. I shall not sit a little either slain nor loss of children. But it said loss of children. They're going to get now. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, one day, the loss of children, widowhood. they shall come upon thee in their perfection, for the multitude of thy sorceries. The very same word.
Amen.
For your false prescription of eternal life.
Yes.
Come and join us. You know something? I couldn't possibly want to go to heaven if they were going to run.
Amen.
History proves what they were. Their popes weren't just poor mongers. They were guilty of sodomy. They filled their papal choir full of their own bastards.
Yeah.
They murdered each other. While one pope in Avignon cursed one of Rome, they cursed back and forth. And one was even a woman. They changed the doctrine back and forth, left and right. Did what they wanted. Well, I just tell you flat, I'd go to hell before I went where they went.
Amen.
Nobody with a modicum of integrity would listen to this kind of stuff they're trying to put on us. Now, and for the great abundance of thine enchantments, do you know that the Roman Catholic Church is notorious for picking up every single thing where they go? You go down to Haiti, and you've got priests practicing witchcraft. Every place you go, they adapt themselves. Go to South America.
Amen.
It's no more original Catholic than nothing. It's a further hybridization.
Amen.
Rottener and rottener. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Spiritual wickedness. Thou said, none see of me. There is a God in heaven, wasn't it? Thy wisdom and thy knowledge have perverted thee. That's where the perversion is, as Brother Branham said, education. PhDs. Their dogmas, their creeds. And you said in your heart, notice, none else beside me. I don't have to answer to God, I answer to nobody. The Roman Catholic Church believes that. There was a certain fellow, I forget where he was, in a higher somewhere, an older priest, 50-some years of age. Took a 16-year-old girl and went out there, living in adultery. Why, they picked the old bird up in Texas. And he called in the priest there. He said, get me out of here. What do you mean, get you out of here? I can't get you out. He said, you certainly can. Tell the judge to get me out of here and turn me over to my bishop. He said, man, what are you talking about? You've offended the law of the land. He said, the Catholic Church is the law of the land. We're greater than the courts. He said, tell that judge to turn me over to my bishop. He'll deal with me. Let me tell you something. That's Babel.
Sure.
As I look at this message, look at my heart and the hearts of the people around the country, and I'm not going to be trying to rub you. But I just want to ask one question. If you come out of Babylon,
amen,
how much Babylon's come out of you?
Amen.
Because I see people right now just as rotten as Catholicism in this message.
Yes, amen. That's the truth.
Claim to be independent. What are they independent from?
Amen.
You have the same hierarchical spirit.
Amen.
He says, get out of my way or I'll walk on you.
Amen.
Yeah.
I got two tapes of that. One, well, I got one. You can get the one to make any day you want. But I got two since then. Get out of my way.
Amen.
Or we'll trample.
Yes.
How much Babylon's come? Anybody come out of Babylon? How much Babylon's come out of us?
Now listen,
there shall come upon thee, evil come upon thee, and thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee, and thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, and thou shalt not know. In other words, he's telling you right here, it doesn't matter what you think, you know. God knows better, and you're going to get hit and hit real hard. You're going to get hit when you don't even think you can get hit. See? That's true. Stand now with thine enchantments with the multitude that's orphaned. When thou hast labored from thy youth, and if so, thou shalt be able to profit, if thou mayest prevail. There's coming a time when the bomb, the atomic bomb from Moscow, is going to hit Rome and bust your high, wide, and handsome. And America's going to get the same bomb. Thou art worthy, the multitude of thy counsel. Let now the astrologer, stargazer, prognosticator stand up and save thee if they can. Sure, do anything, take anything. Behold, there'll be a stubble, fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the powers of flame. There shall not be a cold to warm at, and their fire to sit before. In other words, at the end of time, brother, sister, God's going to destroy her. Thus thou shalt be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, thy merchant from thy youth. They shall wander in one his court, and none shall save thee. Bringing here the attention that what Rome has depended upon, and others with her, there is no hope. Isaiah 47 is nothing but the book of Revelation in one chapter.
Yes, glory,
now,
glory.
Let's go further. God has always judged like this. God even judged Israel. And remember, Israel is a type of America.
Sure.
So let's go and take a look at Israel. This is good. Ezekiel chapter 16, 28 to 38, and see the day in which we live. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast insatiable. Yeah. Brother Man said, Baptist wants, Methodist wants, the Presbyterian and Pentecostal want them all. In other words, when you add one word, the prophet said you'll add.
Yeah.
When you take, once you start, An appetite will get you where you simply can't stop growing.
Yeah,
amen. You dare say the word of God.
Amen.
He said you're insatiable. You played the harlot, and you couldn't be satisfied. Thou hast more multiplied and multiplied thy fornications in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied therewith. Now, liaison, see, joining hands with, corrupting herself, politically, spiritually, moving back. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord, seeing thou you do all these things, the work of an imperious, glorious woman. In other words, you can't stop her. In that thou buildest thine eminent places in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as an harlot, in that thou scornest hire. Now watch. But as a wife that commits adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband, they give gifts to all whores. In other words, you pay for your call girls. But notice, this call girl doesn't take pay. She gives gifts to her lovers and hires them that they may come on every side. That's America.
Yes.
She has bought everybody.
Yes, that's right.
All they've done is use her, spit in her face.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. Only nation stood up was old Centurion Cannon. I think he's a tough old reporter up there, and a couple of years ago he said a good thing about America.
Yes.
He's a rough, tough old boozer. But he's the only one that had respect of all the nations.
Yes.
For America. The God was spit in our face. Every nation's done it. See? Don't care 2 cents we done. But we've gone around and we've spread our herd of two, which is our dogmas in every nation. We think, oh, we're missionary minded. Nobody, they're not getting saved in those nations, getting brainwashed.
That's right.
Yeah. Like Jesus Christ said about Israel, the Pharisees, scribes, he said, you'll send a missionary around the world to proselytize just to get a twofold more child of hell than yourself.
Yes, that's right.
See? Now, and the contrary is in these mother women, in thy whoredoms, whereas none follows thee to commit whoredoms. And in that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given you, and therefore art thou contrary. You think anybody's going to do anything for America? We kept Russia from dying.
Amen.
We kept Rome from dying. We kept France from dying. Greece from dying.
Amen.
This and that from dying. American blood did it.
Amen.
What person's going to do anything for America? Send money and men to Japan under MacArthur. Brought industry back. Did the same to Germany. When our dollar goes down, they'll just laugh and say, well, tough luck, you bunch of jerks. It's just what Adenauer said. It's a stupid cat that picks his butcher. Say, what a mess America's in. Now, wherefore, a harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, thy nakedness is discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children, which you gave to them. Sure, we gave our children to death. Behold, therefore, I'll gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them thou hast loved, and all that thou hast hated, and I'll gather them around against thee, and discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see thy nakedness. And I'll judge the woman that breaketh the wedlock, and shed blood or judge, and I'll give thee blood in fury and in jealousy. Now, he said that about Israel. But America is touched by Israel. As America, as Israel, rather, had a prophet to take them into Canaan land, where there weren't very many people, to cast the natives out and take over, and be a blessing under God. America did the same thing. For a while we had some godly men, but where are the godly men gone now?
Mm-hmm.
And now today America can no more stand with Christ than nothing. And what she sold herself for, there's no hope or no pity. They won't do one thing for it. Then they'll all go down the drain together, see? That's exactly right. Now listen. Now, God demanded an answer for Babylon. He demanded an answer for Israel. Matthew 23:35 came to pass when Titus destroyed the city and Israel scattered. Watch what he says. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. From the blood of righteous Abel, the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom you should be in the temple and altar. Now that's what happened under Titus. Israel, as the people of God that bore his name, that defiled the word, that went their own tradition, they could not receive the promise of God because their faith was in tradition.
Yeah.
And in dogma of their own revelation. Now, that took place back there. And it's going to take place again for the whole world.
Yeah.
Because it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 18, and verse 24, and in her Babylon, Rome, was found the blood of the prophets and the saints, and all that were slain on earth. They say right under the Vatican, is one of the arenas where the blood of martyrs was shed, hundreds of thousands. So therefore, God is demanding judgment once more, and it's going to be gotten. And remember, the prophet categorically said in his last vision, it was America primarily.
Sure.
There was a land of craters.
Yeah.
And he said America will get the bomb the same time the Vatican does. Why? Because God has raised up communism in Russia as she raised up Babylon to destroy the flesh because of sin. Had to have an end at some time. And God must bring his judgment to bear. It happens exactly as it says in Revelation 13 and 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. See? He that kills with the sword must with the sword be killed. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Now you show me who took up a sword in religion, Rome.
Sure.
But what has Protestantism done? They've gone right back. And so therefore, brother, sister, if Christ were here today, of course, Brother Branham was here instead of, and he said the same thing. They said over here in Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Won't you verse 29, won't you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites? Because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our father, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, be ye witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them that killed the prophets. Therefore, because seed begets seed, and you are what they are, fill up the measure so I can take care of it.
Yeah, right.
And now, what did they say about dear old Pope John 23, that sweet old man? Why, they said if he had been Pope instead of Leo, we would not have had Luther rise up and the people pull away. Therefore, they have said the same thing. If we had been in that day, we would not have done that.
Yes.
And he said, listen, you bunch of kids and your fathers. But what is Elijah going to do? He's going to turn the seed back to their fathers while these other birds get turned back to their fathers.
Yes.
And then the joy of the Father upon the bride and the condemnation of Almighty God upon the seed of the enemy. Now, with these thoughts in mind which I brought you tonight, I think maybe you could see a little more clearly what the four seals are about. How the white horse came forth with the deeds that would become a doctrine and then be incarnated in man. And when it did, it took power in the red horse to destroy state and government, and the church got together. Then the black horse, taking the souls of men and making them completely captive, until the brindle horse, all poured into one. See, like four great nations. It come on now. And we've had the same thing repeat. Coming down. White horse, red horse, black horse, and now a brindle horse. Where at the end time, it's all poured into one. All deceit. All diabolical kind of anything. Come on in and be one of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that strange horse, he's taken over. And is doing it. Now, here is then the Antichrist. Through the power of America, in complete control. Revelation 13, 48. And they worship the dragon which gave power to the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. Power given to continue 42 months. Now he's always blasphemed, but now he's going to have the power. And he opened his mouth to blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name. He's certainly done it. His tabernacle, them that dwell in heaven, the saints. See, there's some resurrected ones already. And he's got power to make war with the saints and overcome. He's always done it. And that power extends over all kindred, tongues, and nations.
Yes.
Until at the end time, you either come in or you die. And if you stay out, you won't have a chance of living. They'll get rid of you somehow. You'll just simply die without any food and all. Now he said, listen, he said, here's the patience of the saints. He said, you can't do a thing about it. You're like sheep for the slaughter. Just remember one thing, you've got to stand there and wait till God delivers you, see? And this great one, because America is going to cause all, verse 16, great and small, rich and poor, fawn and free, doesn't matter what you got. Brother Brown explained it. Why, he said Vatican's got the gold, and he said the Jews got the paper, and the big companies got their bonds and their stock. He said they're all going to get together. Sure they will. And the churches will. You think guys like Oral Roberts won't? He's going to, because right now he's 137 bed hospitals at a standstill. He's got money sitting there. But the state says, no, you can't have it. We got beds in Tulsa right now that aren't being occupied. See? What's he going to do? He'll be forced to retain his holdings by getting in the world system.
Sure.
He's already in now. He's joined the Methodists to get his hands.
Sure.
Said he went back to his mother and father. I'm sure he did. Actually, I don't think they ever left him. Can't do. Now listen. Christianity, so called, is in position through American leadership to bring the world together as brethren with a great leader who is spiritual at the head of it. And he'll be the Antichrist.
Yes.
Whether he's American or Italian or French. Let's face it, there are no such things as America anyway. We've got an Irishman over here running things. Now we got an Englishman running things. Isn't it about time we had a... Maybe somebody's an Italian. We had a LaGuardia become a great man. We've got Italians in government. But they're Americans. Why shouldn't we have a Pope? We'll have one. Brother Bannon said so.
Yes.
And I believe that he'll be that last one. Now, as Brother Branham said, watch for that Pope that comes out of America. Well, let's face it. He's going to have to come pretty soon. Because Brother Branham said, God gave up America in 1956.
Yes.
So if God gave up America in 1956, you can ask yourself this question, who's got her? There's only two people that's gotten the devil to run things. So America is already owned by the devil. So what's the religion? It's that old dragon himself that heads up world system. And he's got the power because he said to Jesus, all this thing I can give you. And Jesus said, I know you can, but I'm not going to take it your way. I'm going to get it my way. And he will. But the devil owns it all.
Yes.
And he couldn't own it, brother, sister, with a world empire of force that's backed by a single army. At the end of time, the world's just too big for that. There's only one way he can do it, and that's by the conscience of men.
Yes.
And he's already got that by the word which has been prostituted.
Certainly.
For the first time in history of America, Christianity has a power it's never had before. See? For the first time now, Jerusalem is hated by all nations. Won't be too long until America turns on the Jews. Right now, Carter is giving an ultimatum. Giving an ultimatum to that land which they took in that seven-day war, which they must own according to Scripture because it's theirs.
Amen.
But America's going to go against it. The chips are down. How long will it be? I don't know. 77 went by, and I knew it would go by. You know why? Brother Branham gave a little clue. He said, now look, he said, if I depended only on a Sodom and Gomorrah condition of marriage and remarriage, I could not say this was the last day. All the events must be fulfilled.
Yes.
I have yet to see the squeeze come on. I have not seen the Pope come out of America.
That's right.
I have not seen the time when the church took over the unions.
That's right.
There's a lot of things that happen, see.
Right.
But let me tell you something.
Amen.
I can see it ain't amen. There's no problem yet. But there will be.
Yes.
There will be. It could start tomorrow. As the crash came in 1929, overnight.
Amen.
It could come at this time. The American dollar, in 30 years, from Truman at par, which they call par, which is, I won't say they had a wrong index, but it's down today to 38.2 and still falling.
Amen.
And the fact it's falling and inflation going up, could the dollar be worth maybe 36 cents by tomorrow morning? What if it's worth 25 cents within 1 week? What if it's worth 12 cents? Within 3 weeks. See, are your lovers going to come and say, we're going to post you up and prop you up? There'll be no propping up, my brother, sister. There's only one propping up, and that is going to be your gold. And who's got the gold? Rome has got the gold.
Yes.
America at one time had all the gold. But under a man as stupid as any man in history, and America thinks he's great, was Roosevelt with his stupid economists. They said, make gold a commodity and pick it at about $33 like peas and beans and soup and nuts and bolts. And so the idiots did it because that's all you can say about them. Pure, unadulterated political financial idiots.
Amen.
If we'd have pegged the gold at $200 an ounce, like Babylon, we'd have ruled the whole world and controlled all finances, but they gave it away.
Yes.
To what? To Babylon, where the gold was in the first
place. Yes.
Mystery Babylon. Mother of harlots. Yes, sir. We're on the way down, brother, sister. And the economy, I'm looking at the economy more than any single thing. I'm not a prophet. And I don't pretend I'm a prophet. It's making people understand it far better than me. But I can't get something out of my mind concerning money.
Amen.
But that's where it's going to be.
That's right. Amen.
And they're doing it. The computer system is set up. There's little towns in America right now that's run by a single computer. You won't need a penny. Just need your card. They're doing it now. See, I'm not looking just at technology. I'm looking at the whole thing. But remember, brother, sister, there was a masterpiece of technology as one of the seven visions. A car that went down the road uncontrolled by the hand of man.
Yes.
But it got there just the same. Now, to me, that symbolizes technology. The Bible speaks of it. So here we are at the end time, the devil's own religion. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you've got the devil's own religion, then who are you serving? The devil. Who are you worshiping? The devil.
Amen.
Why? Because you're coming right through a priesthood system to God. You know something? I just, this is one of the hardest things to believe. There's a fellow named a Baptist preacher. I've read his sermons, and maybe you've even heard him, Dr. Lee. One of the truly great preachers of the 20th century. And I was talking to a friend of mine who was a missionary in China. It was a woman. She didn't know any better. She preached to him. I guess that could explain a lot. And she was in this home I was in Florida. And I was saying, what a great man this Dr. Lee was. Because she had mentioned to her, and her face turned kind of ashen. And she said, Brother Bale, he's not the man you think he is. Well, I said, how so? She said, I was recently in his church where he preached. And she said, Brother Bale, he preached a masterpiece on salvation. Preached the blood of Jesus Christ repents. Right down the line. Gave his altar call. And said, come, shake my hand. Well, I said, how so? She said, I was recently in his church where he preached. And she said, Brother Bale, he preached a masterpiece on salvation. Preached the blood of Jesus Christ repents. Right down the line. Gave his altar call. And said, come, shake my hand and join the church. That's what we got today.
Yes, it is.
Not God, but the devil.
Yes.
Shake my hand and join the church for the blood of Jesus Christ. For the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Brother, sister, if that's God, somebody made a mistake somewhere. But I'm going to tell you, there's no mistake made. That's this lovely, holy Bible that's perfectly true that reveals the Antichrist in his rotten system. At the same time, he reveals Christ.
Yes.
Brother, sister, when Christ and Antichrist are revealed, there's nothing left but the little ends of consummation, and it's all gone. The Lord bless you, shall be right. One service, 10 o'clock Sunday. I'm going to preach a sermon Sunday morning that to me is very, very important doctrine, because I don't believe that there's one amongst us who understands it, what's going on. When the prophet said, looking back, looking forward, but not at what the present. And I'll preach it and I'll admit that I know the truth of it. But I don't know anybody who physically, spiritually knows the truth of what is happening and has happened in our midst at this hour. Instead of one long sermon, I'll break it into two. The best I can. Sunday morning. That'll end the time of our fellowship with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the time of coming together, not to tell the people something new, but to merely help them confirm a little more in their heart by expanded word that which they already know. To see clearly where this came from, where it's going. How perfect we were taught in just a few sentences by a prophet who opened the Bible with the key of the Holy Spirit giving us revelation. And here we can see the things he said. All there in detail, line before. So it is true that this word revealed at this hour, a wayfaring man, though a fool, need not err therein. For it does not take human intelligence, no longer spiritual insight, because that has been already given.
Yes.
It is now looking at it and seeing it. And knowing it. Rot and fallible humans. Father, we thank you for deliverance from Babylon. But we pray tonight, O God, that Babylon may be delivered from us.
Thank you, Lord.
Cleaned out of our hearts. That we may not any longer be in that place of presumed authority, which we know is exactly what is happening today.
Yes.
Grant, Lord, that the true authority of a spirit-released word may take these temples captive. For the glory of Almighty God. Until indeed that super race not only approaches, but becomes one with him, thoroughly identified in the same way, by the same movings of the same word.
Thank you.
Lord, that's what we feel is the good answer tonight.
Yes.
That's what we feel with Brother Branham when he said, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere.
Yes.
By the grace of God, we won't stand there.
Thank you.
Lord, that's how we stand tonight. We praise thee, Lord Jesus, there is a bride. Thank you, Lord, that thou art God. That satisfies us.
Yeah.
And Lord, that spirit upon us tonight makes us to realize a contentment within ourselves that the God of all this, the judge of all this earth, shall do right. The things are proceeding exactly right. Everything is exactly right, Lord.
Yes.
And we're glad. And by faith, Lord, we trust that we might not just be those who can view the eternal city afar off, but by the grace of God, either be a part of it or those that bring their glory in.
Yes.
We stand before you, Lord, happy for an end-day message.
Yes.
Absolutely thrilled with the simply ravishing truth of the reality that God has proven who He was,
yes,
manifested Himself.
Yes.
And tonight, Lord, we're talking to you, that God.
Yes.
Accept us, O Lord. Accept us, we pray, O God. And fold us more and more, Lord. Guide us even more closely still. And unto Thee we shall ascribe the honor and the glory, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother?
May God richly bless you. I'd just like to welcome all the dear folks that came up from Santa Fe and also the group that came from Calvin's. We're glad to have Brother Lloyd Stapleton that is from Calvin's and bringing his group. I know it's a horrible trip up the mountain this time of the year, but I trust that God has richly blessed you, and we're certainly glad to have all of you. Now, you're dismissed until 10 o'clock Sunday morning.